From Futures of Proof, Why Your Life Feels Fake, An Antidote to the Life You Were Sold. There are two versions of you walking around right now. One of them is the version you perform, the one with the LinkedIn headline, the job, the goals that sound respectable at dinner parties, the five-year plan you recite when relatives ask what you're doing with your life. This version is competent. This version is impressive on paper. This version is, statistically, probably miserable. The other version only shows up for about 40 minutes on a Sunday afternoon, usually when you're alone, usually right after you finish something you actually care about. For those 40 minutes, you are not tired. You are not anxious. You do not need to check your phone. You feel, for a brief and infuriating moment, like your life is actually yours. Then Monday arrives, and the first version takes back over. The gap between those two versions is the most important problem in your life. Everything else, the discipline issues, the motivation problems, the vague sense that something is off, is downstream of it. I call that gap a failure of identity. Lifestyle fit. Product market fit is when what a company builds matches what the market actually wants. Before you have it, every day is a grind. Founders describe it as pushing a boulder uphill, convincing people to care, tweaking the pitch, and burning cash. After you have it, the market pulls the product out of your hands. It's the day you've been waiting for. Identity, lifestyle fit is the same phenomenon, but the product is you and the market is how you live. When you have it, your calendar is inviting rather than daunting. The work you do feeds the person you're becoming. Discipline stops feeling forced and starts feeling effortless. You wake up and rather than hiding from the day by pressing snooze, you can't wait to get up. Very few people can say they have this type of life. When you don't have it, you are in a constant but quiet war with your own life. You set goals and miss them. You build habits and drop them. You achieve the thing you said you wanted and feel nothing. You spend your 20s optimizing a life you never consciously chose, and then wonder 40 years later why you did that at all. Most productivity and self-help advice is a band-aid over this, so it's important that we get to the root, which is deep in your head. You don't need a better morning routine. You need to figure out whose life you've been living. In the next few minutes, I'm going to show you three things. First, why the beliefs running your life were installed before you were old enough to consent to them, and the research that proves this isn't just a feeling. Second, how to surface the specific belief that's currently keeping you stuck in whichever area of your life feels most off right now. Third, a 7-day protocol for testing that belief against one you'd actually choose. If you do this honestly, you will not finish the week the same person who started it. That's the point. This will be incredibly comprehensive. We are going to dig deep into your psyche. All I ask is that you set aside time to actually rid this. Resist the urge to get distracted, even if every sentence doesn't give you a little hit of dopamine. You have to earn it with this letter. If anything, at least read to phase 2, the inversion test of the belief interrogation, because that alone made me question much of my life as I wrote it. Every person alive is running on a set of beliefs about what will make them happy. These beliefs are mostly invisible to the person holding them. They feel less like opinions and more like how reality obviously is. The person grinding toward $1 million genuinely believes the million will fix something. The person chasing the relationship genuinely believes the relationship will save them. The person building the business, the body, the audience, the farm, the family, all of them are right in the sense that they'll feel a real hit of meaning when they get there. And all of them are wrong in the sense that the hit wears off in weeks and they're left standing in the same body with the same nervous system, wondering why the thing didn't do what it was supposed to do. This is how the mind works. We move toward what we believe will make us whole. The problem is almost nobody stops to ask where those beliefs came from. 1,000 years ago in ancient Japan, there was an old Zen monastery holding a session, their enlightenment intensive. These were multi-day retreats where monks would meditate for their enlightenment. During an intensive, an annoying cat wandered into the room and began meowing. At first, the monks ignored it, but the cat kept going to the point where the monks became agitated by the noise. The Zen master instructed one of the young monks to go tie the cat outside in the front of the monastery by a post so it couldn't sneak back and disturb them. The session continued, and it turned out to be a retreat where more monks than usual achieved their enlightenments during that intensive. Centuries later, monasteries throughout Japan would adopt the practice of tying a cat outside the front door. One young monk, new to the monastery, was tying up the cat when he asked the Zen master, "Why are you forcing me to tie this cat outside? What's this going to do?" The Zen master replied, "This is the cat of enlightenment. When we tie this cat outside, it causes more of the monks to have their enlightenments. So do as you're told." And the young monk did just that. Whether the story is literally true doesn't matter. What matters is that you are the young monk, and your entire life is full of cats you tied up every day without asking why. Between the ages of roughly 2 and 7, your brain runs in a state called theta wave dominance. It's the same brain state adults pay hypnotherapists to access. You absorb everything. You don't even really have the ability to determine whether or not the information is good. The tone your mother used when money was tight. The way your father talked about his boss. Whether ambition was celebrated or resented at the dinner table. Whether curiosity got you praised or told to sit down. Whether you were loved when you performed or loved when you existed. By the time you're a teenager, those patterns have hardened into what feels like your personality. Or at least that's what we call it. By the time you're 25, they're foundational pillars in your psyche. You can't just remove them or else everything the pillars support will crumble. This is why the 29-year-old who suddenly quits the corporate job to start a business isn't what most people think. He's not impulsive or taking a massive risk. Instead, he's been running a script his parents wrote in 1998. And somewhere around his late 20s he accumulated enough contradictory evidence to finally question it. There it breaks. He either writes a new one or finds a new script to follow. Most people find a new script. Your job if you want your life to feel like yours is to write one. If you think I'm just speaking nonsense, the research is worse than you'd guess. The World Value Survey has tracked the beliefs of over 100 countries since 1981. It's the largest dataset on human values ever assembled. The core finding after 4 decades of research, your values are overwhelmingly predicted by the survival conditions of your childhood. That is, the economic and cultural pressure you grew up inside. People raised in scarcity prioritize security, tradition, obedience, and in-group loyalty. People raised in abundance prioritize autonomy, self-expression, creativity, and meaning. This means the values you're defending as your deepest truth are, statistically, a pretty accurate readout of your parents' tax bracket and country they lived in 1998. For understanding, You can argue that Christianity, or whatever belief system, is the one true religion, but if you were born on the other side of the world, you would not believe that.